Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, Romans chapter 10 is answering this great big issue that deals with Israel's failure. Has the word of God failed with regard to Israel because so many do not believe? And God is answering that, and the Lord knows that many people will lay the charge to Him on that, as if God is the one to blame for people's unbelief. And the Bible never does that. The Bible never lays the blame at God's feet on somebody on that day when they stand before Him. The issue won't be whether they were elected or reprobated. The issue will be, how did they come to believe in the Son, Jesus Christ? The minister stood up and pleaded for the sinner to come. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you believe? That's exactly what Romans 11 will say. Israel was cut off for what reason? Unbelief. You could see that in verse 20 of Romans 11. Well, Paul is dealing with this issue. Has God put everything into place? Maybe not everything was into place for Israel. And we're so used to having churches where the minister stands up and preaches the word of God. Maybe Israel didn't have all that. Maybe they didn't know about their Messiah. And Paul is making the case, oh yes, they did know. How shall they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? God has outlined for us five necessities that must be in place for a sinner to become saved. And He quotes Isaiah in this connection and says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Israel had this. They heard Christ. They heard the calls to repent and believe in Him. But, and that's where I'm picking up today in Romans 10, but. Now, we typically are used to a but now God. We're used to God in His great mercies, lavishing sovereign grace down and saving. But I have to confess, I'm utterly moved to sorrow by what I now have to speak about on Abounding Grace. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. I want everyone to let those words sink deeply into the heart. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, we're not just looking at only Israel, because that would have said most did not. 1 Corinthians 10 says that, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. Some translations say, but not all the Israelites accepted or believed the gospel, but the word is Pontes, it means not all, which is inclusive of Jews and Gentiles. Here's what he's saying. Even though everything is in place, even though God has sent preachers and the preachers preach Jesus and they convict of sin, not all have believed the message. And Paul is applying this universally, that there will always be people who reject the message regardless of where you go and whom you're speaking to, people baptized, people raised in it. This is a sad reality indeed. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. God put everything in place. He sent beautiful feet preaching the gospel. From the ends of the earth they've come. And what is the reality? Isn't that a striking way of speaking? Obeyed the gospel? What's the first thing Jesus said when He started His public ministry? Repent and believe. The gospel came as a command. The first thing raised was repentance, the necessity for a sinner to turn from his ways and live. And that call required the preacher to come and expose what was daily going on in the heart, the idolatries, the sexual immorality, and to speak things the way that they are. I oftentimes, we'll hear that. Well, pastor says it like it is. How else would you want it said? The pastor has to unveil the horrid realities and be very truthful about it. The realities of sin in people's lives, and tell them to believe in the only one who's able to justify them and save them from the wrath to come. But how much the Old Testament, my friends, shows us this painful reality that so many did not obey the gospel. They would not humble themselves. They would not turn to Christ. I think of Elijah. Lord, the Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They put the prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. I think of Isaiah. I'll go. Send me, Lord. And his whole mission was to go and to make the heart of the people dull. Unbelief is a painful reality. It's never something you expect in the ministry, even when God has told you it will be so. I'm conscious that some men are raised up, and I've spoken with men who've gone through this. They go to people, they preach the message, and absolutely nothing happens but opposition. Those people will not change. They will not repent. They will not change their ways, and they end up rejecting the message and the messenger. You're always thankful for a congregation that loves the Word of God, that wants to be nourished with the words of the gospel when their sin is shown to them, and they hear it for what it is. But here we are, my friends. We're told in advance, and we're warned, not all will believe this, and it will be with some whom we never expected. Why does this happen? Let me give you a reason, and this is so important today. I was pondering this, and it just struck me. Listen to verse 16, where it says, but not all have obeyed the gospel. Listen to what Isaiah says. This is verse 16 of Romans chapter 10. Lord, who has believed our report? You know, of all verses to prove this, the unbelief of those who hear the gospel, you know, there are a lot of better ones in the Old Testament to prove this. But as I read this, it dawned on me, you know where that statement comes from? Paul there quotes Isaiah 53. Lord, who has believed our report? In fact, it's the very first words of Isaiah 53. So I went back there, and I want you to go back there and meditate on Isaiah 53. I was struck afresh with the negativity of the report. It's all about suffering. Christ's suffering. Here's the language. Tell me if this is preached today. Here's your litmus test. Is your pastor preaching this, or is he preaching how-to sermons? Flee the how-to stuff. It'll land you in hell. You need a savior. Here's the report, my friends. He has no form or comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we, on our part, hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. We hated him. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, literally pains. Yet we reckon him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted, and wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, our sins, right? And what is the truth, he says? What is the report? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Did you hear it? The report is this. The report that God commands the messenger to preach in season, out of season, is this. That of a bloody, crucified Savior who's not beautiful in our estimation, who was split open. The report is the gruesome death where his grave was made with the wicked. Our God smote him, his son. And what did God do that? Why did he do that to his son? Because of your horrid, rebellious hearts. Because you and me are always going astray in the heart. Because we're always turning to our own ways, to be our own gods. That's the report. That's what the pastor every week in some different way, shape, or wording is the core of it. He's getting back to that report. Now, my friends, I would do real well today on the church growth scorecard. Might even get a few more hundred people at the Linden URC if I didn't preach a message like that. I could gain a great hearing if I told you all that you're beautiful people, that Jesus is here to fix your bad self-esteem problems. Might even get a big glass crystal cathedral if I do that. Schuller did. If my preaching were a little more upbeat, a little more dynamic, if I smiled a little more and made the atmosphere a little more relaxed and gave talks with a nicer tone to help you guys along your journey with your very difficult weeks, to help you along the way, maybe give you stories and object lessons, I think I could produce a megachurch. I might have enough wisdom to do it. Further, it wouldn't even offend people if I preach the gospel so long as they are made to feel worthy to receive the gospel, right? In other words, pastors are loved today as long as they pet the sheep and tell them they're good. Pastors are loved today as long as they will pet the sheep and make them feel that they're good enough for the gospel. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. That's not the report. I mean, it's basic truth, isn't it? That's not the report. That's man's report. You're hearing man's ideas, but it's not God's. That's not the message God has sent the messenger with. That's not what Isaiah 53 says. It says an undesirable Savior was cruelly murdered and suffered a horrid death, and it was your fault. It was our sin that caused that, because we've always gone astray in our hearts. And Isaiah, Paul quotes Isaiah, who's believed our report? Well, sadly today, a whole bunch of people have not. And the worst part about it is, it's in the church. It's invaded the church. A report that people aren't believing. And so they've created their own report. They've created their own message, social gospel, all these other things to evade the task of dealing with a crucified Savior that has to deal with wretched, bad sinners like you and me. That's the report, my friends. Who's believed it today? Well, you'll know it by what the message content is and how you respond to that. If a message like this angers you, well, then maybe it's the reality you're not believing the report. And yet, the report is the answer. Jesus is a Savior. Jesus saves us from our sins. And when we preach Him in His beauty, as that penetrates the heart, God saves a sinner from death. Let us then preach Christ. Let us preach Christ.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.